and welcome to the Mindset Growth Academy podcast. I'm your host, Emma Gibbs-Ung. Each show, I'm going to be using a combination of interviews with incredibly inspiring people from around the world who have achieved greatness, overcome adversity, and never given up, as well as solo episodes from me, sharing my own journey as a leading mindset coach, helping to inspire, support, and guide you to create a growth mindset so you can achieve success in all areas of your life. Are you ready to bring mindset to life and create success from the inside out? Let's go. Hello and welcome back to the Mindset Growth Academy podcast. Today I'm joined by Alex Popham. Alex is a former international rugby player who won 33 caps for Wales, appeared in two Rugby World Cups and helped his country win the Six Nations Grand Slam in 2008, before retiring through injury in 2011. Today, Alex is going to be sharing with me how he's transferred his skills into the world of business, adapted his life away from the rugby field, and how his sporting mindset has helped him to set up his own business and have success. So welcome, Alex. It's lovely to have you. Today.
Morning, Emma.
How are we?
All good. Yeah, just come back off holiday. So yeah,
lovely.
Refreshed and recharged, ready to go with the next. Yes, definitely.
Awesome. There's so much I want to talk to you about today because I have a massive interest in the sporting mindset for one. I absolutely love it. But obviously, business is my passion too. And from that introduction, you have success in both. I obviously know you because I worked with you very briefly, but I'm really excited to just share your story and how you have transferred that mindset from the rugby pitch over to business, because it's not always easy to do that. And you often see a lot of sports people, especially when they're forced to retire, really struggling to know what to do next. So I really would love to like find out a little bit more about that transition. And how you managed it, really, because obviously it wasn't a retirement through choice; it was retirement through injury.
Yeah, it was a difficult time in some ways. I was playing out in France for Breeze in 2011. My last game was against Cast on the 5th of March 2011. I snapped my tricep and popped my shoulder. In the game, they reattached my tricep. 4 months later, went back in to do my shoulder, which I thought was just going to be a simple reconstruction. Yeah. When they went in there, there was about 9 procedures. It could have been 9 separate operations.
Wow.
For years of wear and tear and the impact from the collision that caused both the injuries. So when I woke up in after the op and the specialist consultant came round and told me that he advised me not to play again was quite hard to take, really. I've always been and still am a half full person with my outlook in everything that I do, and I thought that I was blessed to have 12 years of playing professional rugby in Wales, in England, in France, and then for my country going to 2 World Cups that I did pretty well and had over 300 games senior rugby, and it was only a couple of injuries during that 12 years where it was a dead leg or broken hand, and the maximum I was out for was 6 weeks, something like that, where a lot of boys, and it's happening more often now, have big injuries to their knees or shoulders and are out for seasons on end. So I was lucky in that respect and thought, right, next chapter of my life, and what do I do now? During my career, I was always involved in different types of business, so I didn't have just rugby on my mind 24/7, which I found a break from concentrating on rugby.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of property developing whilst I was playing. I also set up an agency with a law firm and a PR company in Cardiff that is still ongoing. And yeah, just had interest outside of the sport, really. But the thing for me that was difficult when I finished, I thought I was just going to go straight into property developing because that's what I've done for the previous 10 years. When I did that for about 18 months to 2 years, the money was good. But if I'm honest, I found it quite lonely.
Yeah.
Buying a couple of houses at auction, going up to them with the building team and saying, this, this, and this need doing. And then 3 months later, going back up there, I wasn't really part of something. And that's what I've had over the previous 12 years, or since I was four, really, of being part of teams and having banter and having fun and having friends. I didn't have that whilst I was doing the proper developing. So I needed to get into something else and find something new that gave me the buzz again that I was going to get, that I got from rugby. I don't know, it would be 100% the same, but I just needed something else.
And obviously that transition is always going to be hard. And I think a lot of people, when they've been in a sporting environment, do miss the banter. I mean, me, I've been in corporate for 12 years, and then setting up on your own, you miss that banter, that, like you say, the friendships, the you know, the phone calls that you have where people understand exactly what you're going through, and you do feel a part of a community, so it can take some time. If I can just go back a little bit just to talk about the rugby, because, you know, that's quite a successful career. Quite, you know, you've said obviously you felt very blessed, which is an amazing way to look at it, and that you had come off pretty well with regards to, yes, you've been forced to retire through injury now, but actually you hadn't really been faced with too much time out with injury in your career. So that was helpful. But how did you find yourself mentally preparing for this success? You just mentioned very briefly then that rugby's been part of your life since you were four. How did you mentally prepare yourself to go from schoolboy rugby to college rugby to international, and then obviously to the retirement side?
So yeah, I started playing when I was four. I played in a great team. I think we were unbeaten for 4 or 5 years, something like that. But I had a big support from my family, who used to take me and my brothers training every night of the week, and then there was rugby on the weekends, or it could be tours, and I had a massive support from them. So they showed an interest in the rugby. We did it as a family, and it was our life. Preparing for, as you go up the age groups, I always I played for Wales under 11s. I played a year young. So I played 2 years under 11s. Then the next jump up then is under 16s.
Yeah.
And I got to the final trial. So I was a late developer in school, where there were some boys, when you're in the showers or on the rugby field, who looked like men at 12, 13, 14. And I didn't develop until I was 15, 16.
Right.
So at under 16s, I got to the final trial and never got in, or didn't get into the squad. So that was a massive, massive wake-up call for me, with where a lot of boys then who didn't make that level just jack rugby in and finish. Yes. But my mind was, and then I developed, was I wanted to get in the Welsh under 18s. And I put every minute of my day in making sure how I prepared, would it get me into Wales under 18s? So again, with the support of my family, with, look, I need to put on weight, I need to do this training, I need that. And mum would bulk me up with chicken breasts and my grandmother, and made sure they could give me the best possibility of getting in there. So when I got selected for Wales under 18s, was a massive achievement because of the disappointment of not getting in the under 16s.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it's instilled in you from a young age. My mum and dad worked hard, both worked full time. My grandparents exactly the same. My nan had a couple of hairdressers, but used to work really hard. My granddad worked in an aluminium factory, but also built houses on the side. And we just had that work ethic in us. So, I always had jobs growing up to pay for. I was always pay half the tour if we were going to Canada or South Africa. My mum and dad would say they would pay half, but you had to find the other half to allow yourself to go. So it was never on a plate for me. But they always dangled the carrot for us. So I think that is is instilled in me, as I said, and still is now.
Yeah, definitely. And that, you know, when you were you ever close when you didn't get into the under-16s to quitting?
Was there? I think at that age, there's lots of temptations. You've got yeah. You've got drink. You've got going out all the time, and lots of my friends. So I did it a little bit, but there would always be that game on the Saturday morning when my friends would be going out on a Friday night, and I'd leave at 9 o'clock when I knew they were going out till midnight. That was it was hard sometimes, but it was a sacrifice that I was willing to take, and wanted that under 18 cap so bad.
So you made it your mission.
Yes.
Good job you did, because you then went on to have a very successful career.
Exactly, and at that age, there's boys who are most probably more talented who drop off the wayside in all sports because of those temptations, and so many players are lost because of the distractions of between 16 and 18 and temptations of what they want to get involved in. And it's a tough one at that stage for both men and women growing up. So it's hard, and there's most probably more skilled players than me, but just didn't have the fight to want to keep it up.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you've made a really valid point there. At that age, it is really influential, and that's when you're tested as to how much this goal really means to you.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, to be successful, whether it's in sport, in business, or in life, you have to make sacrifices, and your goals have to be, you know, they have to mean something to you. And if they don't, then you'll always find an excuse to not do the things that you need to do to be successful. So that, I think, almost was a test for you, just to see how much you really wanted.
At that time, there wasn't professional rugby. So 95, it went professional. It was just, I wanted to play for Wales at senior level. But there's a stepping stone to get there. And I didn't get in 16s, but I made it my mission to get into the under 18s. And at that time then, Newport, the senior team, weren't playing too well. And I made my senior appearance for Newport and ended up playing 29 games at senior rugby at 18. Wow. So I had an apprentice where that usually is over 3 or 4 period before you get your position in a senior team. I had it fast-tracked and done in one season, which was... and I think we lost 29 of the 30 games. So it was a tough exposure to senior rugby, but one that put me in good stead for the future.
So, you know, obviously you got through those challenges and you then made it into the Welsh international rugby team.
Before I got into the Welsh team, I was playing Welsh under 18s, got that. I think within the same season, I played for Welsh youth under 18s, Welsh and Welsh FIRA. There was all these different teams. And then the following year, I got into Wales under 21s.
Right.
A year young. We won the Grand Slam that year. And then the following year, I was captain.
Oh, wow.
Whilst I was captain, I got called into the senior squad and was sat on the bench against Scotland, but never got on.
Right.
And then I didn't get reselected for the national team for another 3 years. So I sat on the bench. I had a little taste of getting a jersey, but never got capped.
Yeah.
So that was hard, because in my mind then I was thinking, oh, have I ever had my chance? Am I ever going to get back on the pitch again and get a full cap? So it took me another 3 years then of digging it out and training hard and not giving up in my head. Until I got selected to play against Australia in 2003.
You said not giving up in your head, which is like a powerful statement. What did you do to keep that mental strength there? Because obviously physically you were strong, you were doing what you needed to do to be noticed, but there were knocks. It was like a carrot and then it was taken away. How did you mentally cope with that?
you've got to believe in your own strength and skills, and not believe some of the things that were written in the press or people were saying, or you just had to concentrate. Listen to the coaches, but also know your strengths. If you had a coach trying to say, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, and I would say, well, I'm not the best at that, but I'm good at this. Mm. And because that makes more an impact on the game and hopefully allowing us as a team to win. And I think it's always about playing to your strengths and understanding your capabilities. And if there's something you're not good at, and that's one thing that I have taken across with me into business, that know your strengths. And it was exactly the same when I was playing. I was, not wouldn't go too far off track, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. So you kept that belief in yourself.
Yeah, you've got to. You've got to. And do you know what I mean?
Sometimes, how did you do that, though, when you...
Well, now I know it's the secret, but I didn't know that then. So I'm a big believer in
the law of attraction.
We had psychologists and everything like that, but it is just positive, believe, visualize of what you want, and doing things on a pitch and certain actions and moves and things coming off. And if there's any doubt comes in, chuck it away. And it is all about, and it's a cliche, but positive mental attitude. And if you can have that, it makes hell of a difference to when you get up in the morning and all the way through the day, and being thankful for what day you've had when you go to bed, and think about things that are going to happen tomorrow before you fall asleep. So huge. Yeah.
I just wanted to go back to one of those techniques that you just said, almost sort of blasé, but I know that is probably because you do it so often, but is that you had a thought and you did that action of throwing it away.
Yeah.
Of people that I've worked with, and it's something that I've started to do, is if you do get that negative thought, by throwing it behind you, it allows you to move forward. Is that something that you consciously did, or was it just that you found that?
If something's manifesting in my head, or I'm not worrying about something, then have I done everything in my powers to try and make that a success or situation in the situation? And if I have, then you've got to park it and leave it and move on. Because if you worry about it too much or other things, it distracts you from what you wanted to achieve that day.
Yeah. So would you say that these techniques, these visualizations, these goal settings, that ability to park that negativity as soon as possible, played a massive part in you?
It's not just park it. If it is something negative and you've got to have a conversation, don't do it straight away and nip it in the butt. And that's, again, one thing that we have to be brutally honest in rugby. If someone had a bad game or did something wrong, you couldn't be all Chinese whisper around that. It would be said straight away because you had a game the following Saturday to get it right.
Yeah.
And I think that I wish there was more of that in business. That's what I try to do. And it's not to put the person down or the team or the event or anything like that. It's to move forward and make us better.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I'm a massive believer that everything happens in life is a lesson.
Yeah.
And you learn from it, that failure only exists if you quit. Everything else is feedback. And I think, you know, sometimes I agree, we need to hear it more. And the more we hear it, the more opportunity we've got to learn and to grow and develop and become a better player or a better business person or a better person, full stop. So I think that's key.
Yeah, I recently read a good book called Black Box Thinking.
Okay.
I don't know. And it's all about how the aviation industry learn by their mistakes and they put protocols in so they don't happen again. Where in the medical...
I was having a conversation about this the other day. Sorry. Yeah.
They push it under the carpet and it keeps happening again. So things don't... Nice. Obviously, that's huge with life and death in the hospitals. But they should learn by the aviation industry and protocols so you can deal with it.
Yeah. Bizarrely, I was I had a meeting the other day, and the guy that I was with was talking exactly about that, which is quite scary in the medical industry. But
it is. Well, there's a hierarchy in with the surgeons and everything like that. And it's a good book. You should read it.
Yeah, I will.
Black
box thinking.
Yes.
So, you know, obviously you made it back into the team 3 years later, and that was your first game. How did you mentally prepare yourself for that first game to ensure that the same thing didn't happen as it did when you were there with Scotland?
What I try to do is every game, no matter where it was played, if it was a training game or if it was an international in a World Cup, every game I try to, the processes of it's just a game and not try to overthink it.
Yeah.
The bigger games then, when you had the stadium and the atmosphere and the noise and things like that, I try to feed off that as well,
mm-hmm.
but only as a positive, not get worried by it that some players do, and control the controllables is what I used to do. So it would be, I used to split the game into four quarters, and that's what I'd be looking at. So it'd be four separate games. So in that 20 minutes, I knew in each game you had a different game plan to play. But I would do this and know your job inside out for that 20 minutes. Then it depended on the score. You had 20 minutes before half time and know what to do during that period. And that's how I broke it down from game to game and not overthink. And that's big thing. If people overthink too much on, and then that leads to worrying. And it's just each game. You can't think too far ahead because, you all set goals at the start of the season. You want to win this cup. You want to do this. You want to do that. But, you've got those at the end of the tunnel, but there's hundreds of steps that you've got to achieve for you to get there.
Love that. I really love that. That's also, it's so important when it comes to goals to break it down. And I did an interview a few weeks ago with a guy who does a lot of like ultra marathons and a lot of what I call crazy challenges. But he was saying how he just breaks it down for the first 6 miles or the first, if he suddenly thought, oh, I'm about to run 2000 miles, which is what he did once, he'd be overwhelmed. So the minute he broke it down, it was then manageable. And it's so important, like with business, to break your goals down within life to do that. It isn't about, Rome wasn't built in a day.
No, definitely. And my partner, Mel, used a good one. When I started Hub 15, she used this analogy about, could you eat a whole elephant?
And people were like,
I could, no way. But if you started with a leg and you had that for 3 or 4 weeks, you could. And they were spread over. You could eat an elephant, because I was getting overwhelmed with the amount of stuff that I had to do.
Yeah.
And it was just like, well, what, put it in order of what needs to be done to move on and get the company going. And if you break it down like that, and like anything in life, it becomes a lot more easier to swallow.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that transitions nicely onto the business side of things, because obviously you have set up and run, like obviously you were running the property side while you were doing rugby. So you've always had that entrepreneurial flair. But you're now running a very successful business. What have you taken from the rugby career and used in business, other than the
The big one at the start for me is know what you personally are good at. So and then also understand what you're not good at and get help for that. So I've built a team around me. I felt like Warren Gatland picking his Lions coaching staff, because he knows what he's good at, but he brought in specialists in other areas to move Hub 15 forward. So that's exactly what I've done, and picked a team who've got their own success in different areas to hopefully make Hub 15 a great success.
Awesome. You know, and that's so important, because when you start out in business, everyone thinks they have to do everything themselves.
Yeah.
Especially if you are a small business or entrepreneur and you think, you know, I need to know all of this. I've got to try. I've got to. But it's so important to bring that team element in, like you say, to know your strengths, because if you don't, then you go round in circles.
Yeah, exactly. And don't move forward or do a half-assed job at something that isn't professional and to the outside world is obvious it isn't.
Yeah. So what motivates you then?
Being the best that I can be and being successful and having fun along the way. That's a big part. That was always a big part whilst I was playing rugby. If it wasn't fun anymore, then you would have to deal with it or speak to a coach. And that's why there's no point getting up in the morning and dreading going to work. Mm-hmm. Put systems in place, employ good people who are good at their job, but are also good people to work with. Kind, friendly, think of other people. And just try and make their lives, your lives, everybody within that circle life as good as possible. And if we can't as a group, then try and find somebody who can.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously with I mean, clearly you've been motivated throughout your whole life. And that didn't alter really, did it, from the sports injury into business? You know, speaking before this interview about the business that you've set up, the Hub 15, the fact that you've done the property, that motivation has always been there. That drive has always been there. How do you keep that going when you're up against challenges? Because in business, there are different challenges to those on the pitch. And so what do you find yourself going back to the same strategies that you used when you were preparing for games, or are there new
I think it's easier in business. We used to say just concentrate on your game and don't worry what the opposition are doing to a certain respect. But have your own ship in order.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you crossed all the dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's, and you've made to the best of your knowledge and the people around you to move forward, that's all you can do. And if something happens, good, bad, deal with it then and read the situation in front of you. You can only prepare so much. It's like now we're going live with the second hub in Cardiff, and it's a whole different demographic to what it is in Bath. So it's new challenges, but we put a template in place from Bath, learned a lot there that we're going to adopt in Cardiff and tweak it a little bit. And also then there's certain things that we did in Bath and we hold our hands up that went wrong and spent too much on different marketing. But we've learned that lesson and we'll move forward.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Is learning those lessons and moving forward and not scattering yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And that was one thing when... because I've been retired now, it'd be 8 years in March. I did the property developing for a couple of years, and then I was working for, and I'm a shareholder in a company called Amplify Business Content, that we do events, different things like that. But I was trying to concentrate on so many different things that I wasn't actually achieving much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the idea of Hub 15 was born. I wanted tunnel vision. I've had to say no to lots of different things, nice dinners in nice restaurants and cycle rides, golf days, things like that, because a week could be gone with doing lots of nice things but not achieving anything for Hub 15. So yeah. I'm a patron of a couple of charities that I do their cycle rides and I've done it for the last 6-7 years. But apart from that and spending time with a family, my day is moving Hub 15 forward, and everything I do is to make that happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's so, like you say, it's so important because it is easy to get distracted, and it's a very similar approach to when you didn't make the rugby under 16s and you could have easily gone out with your friends and done the rugby, but you made a choice to focus on one thing, and that came into fruition. And the same within business. You know, it's really nice to be involved in lots of things and do nice things, but you've got to ask yourself whether that's going to move your business
and
forward.
You've got to be selfish. If I've got an 8 o'clock meeting tomorrow in London, I've got to get on the 5:30 train from Newport, which gets me in at 7:30 tonight. I've been invited to a friend's birthday that I'm going to drive and go, but be home for 10 and get in bed and not stay up till 12, 1 o'clock. And it's just those little things like Saturday. Yeah, I'm going to the rugby and we'll enjoy it, but pick and choose when to enjoy yourself, or because if you're out partying all the time or socializing all the time, or same with your diet and everything like that, it all goes towards how you feel. And if you're not feeling very well and you're tired because you've been out the night before for a big night, you're not going to be as proactive the following morning.
Very true.
And I'm not saying that, like I said, I'm going to the Wales South Africa on game on Saturday. Sunday I've got a relaxing day, so I'll enjoy myself, but then it's
rosé.
Pardon, on the rosé. Yeah. If the sun's out, I'll get on the rosé.
Exactly. Everything in moderation, and just be mindful of your choices.
Yes. And also, because what I don't want to do is let somebody down tomorrow, and it's letting them down because they can help my business, which then lets Hub 15 down. Yeah. So there's repercussions of all your actions in a good and bad way. So.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. Do you have a mindset mantra or motto that you live by? Because you seem very disciplined, very focused. Is there something that you know, you're passionate of The Secret? Is there something that you live by?
I don't know if it's a quote or anything like that, but it's for me is I want to wake up smiling, go to bed smiling, and know that I've done and been a good person throughout the day to move Hub 15 forward, my family forward, people around me who I care about forward. That's how I want to live and try to live.
Awesome. Thank you. So you mentioned Hub 15. Obviously, if you wouldn't mind just giving a little brief.
The short version.
The short version.
Yeah, Hub 15 was born about 18, 20 months ago. And the idea came about with helping London Welsh get in rolling revenue. So it's turning unused sporting stadiums Monday to Friday into a co-working community where people would drop in and use it as a place to work. And we've launched at Bath Racecourse in September. Bath Racecourse is a great venue just off the M4, brand new building that can seat around 300 people. Great connectivity, because I went round 20 stadiums that you wouldn't realise they look amazing, but the connectivity for people to work from there wasn't good enough. And Bath are part of the Arena Group that own 17 other venues in the UK that they want this to roll out into all of them. We've just signed and we are launching Sophia Gardens Glamorgan Cricket Ground, which is International Cricket Ground, in January. So they're our second venue. Right in the centre of Cardiff, walking distance from the train station, 5 minutes from the city centre. Really, really great location, but inspiring locations for people to work from. So they can have quiet areas that they got great views looking out onto the pitch, or on their own in their own private area, or they could be in the co-working area, and there's a real buzz in these places with people doing business together, and we can facilitate that within our hubs.
Yeah.
We want all our members to use each other's services, and that will bring in a lot more revenue for each individual or company. We've got 2 networking events per month at each hub. So the first Tuesday of every month is a sport business seminar. Mm-hmm. Because really interactive with the members, up to about 50 members at any one time. And then the third Thursday, or works out the third Thursday of every month, is an evening event, more sport related, but where members can and guests can have a couple of drinks and get to know each other on that level, and then network after. We've got an online platform as well. It's like a more personal LinkedIn, where people can connect within the hub.
Yeah.
And as these hubs grow throughout the UK and eventually overseas, you can hopefully do business with those different members as well.
It's amazing, because you basically have brought everything you loved from sport and business and brought it in together. You said that when you left the rugby world, you felt quite lonely and you missed that community. You've moved into business and you're forming a community and sporting environment, but mixing it with business.
Yeah.
It just seems such a clever concept.
And with regards to the community, it's all our members all share the same values. And we ask a member when they, how can we help you? And we want their business from being part of her 15 grow tenfold.
Yeah.
That's what we want. So there's so much value of being part of the community. There's 3 types of membership at present. So you've got the full membership, which in Bath is £150 per month, that gives you full access to the venue 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. Plus the 2 networking events, plus access to the online community. You've got the for £225, you can use Bath, but also use Glamorgan.
Right.
Full time, either or. And as all more hubs open, you'll be able to use those facilities as well. But some people don't need office space, but still want to be part of the community.
Yeah.
So we've got a business community membership, which is £75 per month, that allows you 1 day per week working from the space. But you've got access to the 2 networking events and access to the online community. You've also then, if you want, you can become a partner, where you offer your services to the members at a slightly discounted rate.
You get
your logo on the website, all your information. And like I said, that then will be rolling business for you if you provide the right standards of your services, really.
Wow. Sounds good.
So, yeah, all exciting stuff.
So you've certainly gone from successful rugby to successful business, without a doubt.
No, I'm where I think I am now, just because I haven't thought of this since we started talking about it before in the process of starting Hub 15, is I think I'm just got... I just got my letter saying I'm not in the Welsh under 16s. And what I mean by that is, when I was 16, I was good at rugby, but I haven't achieved what I wanted.
Mm.
And with Hub 15, I know we've got a good brand, a good product, but there's a lot more I want to do with it and to grow it into something really special.
Yeah. And having that vision and that motivation and that focus, obviously, the discipline that your parents instilled in you has carried through.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. It's been fab speaking to you, as always. And I could talk to you for hours, but thank you so much. Is there anything, like, final that you think is fitting from a mindset point of view that you just want to share, or are you good to go?
I'm good to go. Just a bit of... info, if anybody is interested in Hub 15, please take a look at our website, which is www.hubhubx.com. If it's not for you, there may be somebody in your network. Like I said, we're opening One every 3 months now. Soon it'll be one a month, and hopefully there'll be one in your area, a new sports stadium, sports ground, that you can make use of and be part of a community that's growing with great people involved.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
I mean, I'll add all your links anyway onto the show notes. So anyone who is interested in finding out more about that or finding out more about Alex, then the links will all be attached to this podcast. So we'll be able to share all that anyway. But thank you so much, Alex. It's been amazing to meet you and very inspiring.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
That's all for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave a review. Bye for now.